okay, facing the wrong way, facing this one. The whole idea is that we don't have the car noise going past, but we thought we'd have an opportunity to do something a little bit different as well. So let me just open in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to explain kind of how we're going to operate this morning, because it's very different than normal, okay? So Lord God, thank you that we can be here. We are your people who have come to worship you, and we thank you that we come in freedom to do that. We thank you that we live in a country that gives us freedom to worship you, and we pray that we would never take that for granted, and that this morning, as we talk, as we listen, as we sing, as we take communion, that we would reflect on who you are and what you've done in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So rather than having our normal songs, kind of communion, Bible praying, and then a message at the end, we're going to kind of have a conversation all the way through church today. And we're going to be looking at different parts of what we do and ask the question, if the slide will just go up, is what we do fit for purpose? So we get into the habit of doing lots of things in lots of ways, and doing those, is nothing wrong with those, but we're going to ask ourselves the question, are there other ways of doing things, or why do we do what we do? So it's going to be a kind of a conversation back and forth with that. So even before we sing our first song, we're going to ask the question, and I'm going to get Linda to come up and read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and then we're going to have a quick conversation about that.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So in the church, we traditionally use this verse to say, you've got to get together on Sunday. That's kind of how we apply this verse. It's actually not what it's saying. It's saying something else. It's just saying, keep on gathering. So why do we gather? What's the reason that you turn up on Sunday to gather before with God's people? What's some of your reasons for that?
To support each other.
Just support one another. Awesome. Yep.
Primary to remember the Lord.
To remember the Lord. Yep. Awesome. Beth?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of social, old friends, and encouraging each other and pleasure.
Yep, yep. So some of it's almost like what we might call spiritual, and some of it's just jolly hanging out with good friends, you know? And I think that's actually all spiritual, but sometimes we make some things more spiritual than other things. Other reasons that why people join or gather as a congregation?
I like meeting people who share the faith that I have and the belief and trust that I have in the Scripture.
Yep, so you're coming together with people with a common faith and a common belief. And yep, great. Ross, you were...
I was going to make the observation that I started going to church before I could ever remember.
Yeah.
I was probably a few months old, if even that. And there are good habits and bad habits, and going to church might be a good habit.
Yep. Yep, and I think sometimes we neglect building habits in our lives, and it's just what we do, and the question is it still helping achieve the things that God is calling us to do? So as we think about why we gather, we're going to have some conversations about some of the key parts of why we gather, but we're going to begin with a song, ask our musicians to come up, and they're going to lead us in a song, and then we're going to talk about why we worship, what worship is about. So let's stand together as we get led in a song.
Okay, this one's from Psalm 95, verses 6 to 7. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Has anybody been banned from singing? I was, from my family. My family are all musicians, and they obviously believe I'm not. And that could be true. I was banned from singing in the shower. I thought I was doing really, really well. And they explained to me I wasn't. And I've tried to sing romantic songs to my lovely wife. And apparently, it's not very romantic. But anyway, who likes to sing songs at church? Who actually likes to sing songs? Who kind of, it's okay, I don't mind? Who despises singing and wonder why the heck we do? Some. So some music, some people like, some people, other people like. But is there anybody who kind of goes, what on earth do we sing for? There are some people, and that's perfectly okay. And I know lots of people who, in churches where maybe they do two or three songs at the beginning, like we often do, they will come 15 minutes late because they don't want the music. And think about where else do you gather to sing together as a group, other than your choirs and a few other things. But many in our culture, they don't have that idea of singing with one another.
Sometimes we sing a song and you don't even understand what the words
are. Yes.
It used to happen when I was 10 years old, I was singing certain things. I was going, even the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. I was saying, our Father who aren't in heaven.
So, and sometimes, and this is one of the things I want to ask, what can we do a bit differently? So, who likes the contemporary kind of music? Who's more into the contemporary music? Okay, so who's more into the traditional hymns sung well? Okay, there's a few. Who likes a mixture of, bit of both? Yeah, most of us are kind of a mixture of, and we're going to try to explore what it means to have a mixture of both. But what are some other things that we could perhaps do in terms of worship, that singing component? Has anybody got any ideas of other things we could do in that as we seek to worship together?
Some people in the past have done physical, i.e., I mean, you're going to ask me to go there.
Yep.
But that's what they're asking.
So that freedom, some people use flags, some people do dancing, some people do other expressions. And the word worship simply means to prostrate yourself before God. So actually there's a very physical thing.
I read a lot of poetry, and sometimes I think people do a lot of poetry. You might like to read a favourite poem.
Yes, and that's what come to my mind is we actually don't have to just sing songs. And one of the things about a vibrant community is that God starts to bring messages through song, but also through poetry and other forms that we can then share as a body. Rather than going and finding somebody else's song or somebody else's poem, we actually come and write them ourselves, and that speaks into. So I'd love it if people started to bring songs or poetry or other forms of worship of God, because sometimes we think worship is singing, but worship is so much more than singing. But singing is a helpful component as part of that, and we've got so many gifted people in here that it's incredibly helpful. So I know these guys are kind of getting up and down a lot, but I'll ask them to come up and they're going to do another one. This one's called Everlasting. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to get into the flow when it's one off, but just the way that we're doing it today. And later on we've got She said Cliff earlier on,
yeah, sorry,
and now it's in my brain. They're going
to...
So they're going to come and bring us some songs a little bit later on as well, so I'm looking forward to that. So if you guys want to lead us into our next one. Just a minute. Beth's going to come up and lead us in communion. I've got a question for you, though. How many sacraments are there?
Two.
Anybody want a different number than... So sacrament... We've got a 7 down the back. So if you grew up in the Catholic tradition, you'd probably say 7. If you grew up in the Church of Christ tradition or the Baptist tradition, any of those, you'd probably say 2. Because a sacrament is simply a physical reminder of a spiritual truth. And so Church of Christ, we tend to say there are 2. Baptism, where somebody comes to faith and it's their beginning of their journey in faith. And the Lord's Supper, which is our reminder of the faith that we've had and that we continue to walk on. But Communion is part of what we do on a weekly, ongoing basis. So I'm going to invite Beth to come up and lead us through communion. And then hopefully I won't be irreligious while we talk about communion a little bit after that. So thank you, Beth.
You've been posing questions to us today, and I find myself thinking the answers but not saying them. And one of them was about music, and I think music goes into a place in yourself that's quite different from conversation. And I have the communion talk today, which is somebody else's words. They're very much expressing my thoughts, but there's a kind of a poetry about it. And I think poetry is another way of meanings going into us that are a different level that we're not trying to answer, we're just receiving. And so I'm going to read these words. They come from, actually, the Uniting Church minister here at Coromel, who's a pretty special person. Beautiful words, and it's about remembrance. And for me, taking communion is very much about remembering. As we remember, we're told that Jesus remembers too. And so I'm reading these words to you to let them wash over you and just take them in preparation for our time of receiving and remembering. Once more, this table is laid out before us. And once more, we are reminded of God's gracious hospitality and open acceptance of us all. And once more, we come to remember the faithfulness of our loving God, the life, suffering, and resurrection of Jesus, and the movement of the Spirit among us. And once more we come to partake in this meal, to be fed and to be nourished for the journey we take as the disciples of Christ. The journey to courageously follow and to generously serve. And now prayer. God of love, we give thanks as we are once again to find you and find ourselves through this meal. By your Spirit, bless these common elements so that they might nurture and sustain us for your call on our lives to follow in the way of Jesus. And now the reading, the scripture. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus was gathered with friends, and during the meal, he took the bread from the table, and giving thanks, he broke it. Do you remember in some times we would see the bread broken, just broken like he was? And passing it around, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, after the meal, not at the same time, but after the meal, he took the wine from the table and said, "And this is the blood of my covenant. It's poured out for many. Drink it, all of you. Take it in." And now, these are the gifts of God for you and I, the people of God. When we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we are fed for the journey of following Jesus, and we do as our Saviour commands. This is God's table. It's an open table, so everybody take, whether you're young or you're old, whether your faith is large or small, sturdy or floundering, active or dormant, God invites you, whoever you are, to take.
So these guys are going to come and lead us in just a minute. I'm just going to lead us in a little conversation as they get ready. So just a quick question. Why do we do communion in church together? What's your reason you're thinking we actually do it together each week?
I think
think it's become a tradition.
Become a tradition, yep. So traditions can be good or they can be bad, and we're just saying this is part of our tradition, yep.
I think it seeks to follow the biblical example, because God's word tells us that the Christians meet together on the first day of the week to break bread.
Yep, okay. Yep, yep.
Yeah, I haven't read anything about how often, but Jesus said, however you do this and as regularly as you do it in remembrance of what I've done for you. So it's his commandment.
Yep. So let me get Linda to come up and just read from 1 Corinthians 11 and just listen carefully to what it actually says.
I'm reading from verse 24 to 28. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
Did you notice the little bit about confess one another? There's a really good argument, and I'd encourage you to do this sometimes, that communion, although we do it on a Sunday, may actually be better done in home groups. That is probably the context in which communion, Jesus in the upper room with the 12 disciples, over a meal, as Beth kind of brought out, you know, the different parts of the meal, that we actually take communion as part of a small, intimate gathering of people eating. And that doesn't mean we can't do it together on a Sunday, but it might say there are other places to do it as well, and I'd encourage you in your home groups or in your groups sometimes to do it there, because if you're going to take the word of God seriously and confess sin to one another and deal with your sin so you don't come in an unworthy manner, you need to be in a safe enough place. And that's generally not a large group, it's generally in a quite a small, intimate group. So I just encourage you, maybe sometimes we might not do it on a Sunday, and that would be okay, because we might encourage you to do it in other spaces and at other times. So let's enjoy some offering of worship to us. And that's why Gil sings and I don't. Awesome, thank you. In just a moment, they're going to do another one, but in just a moment, John's going to come up and pray for us. And we have what we call congregational prayers. So every week, somebody normally comes up and they pray for us on behalf of a congregation. So I just want to know, what are some of the other ways do you think that we could do congregational praying that would maybe stretch or change the way that we do that a little bit? What would people like to see us do a little bit more of as we pray as a congregation?
I'd like to see us all have opportunity at the same time.
Yep.
If somebody asks and just respond, maybe you have to respond with words, but attention as well.
So include everybody and we all get to pray at the same time, or?
No. I think people might say, you've got somebody in your mind or country or something like that. No, I think we've got all of them at the same time.
Yep, so gather ideas from people that we can pray for. But yep. Has anybody been in a place where everybody prays at the same time? Yeah. Again, it's something that some people love and some people loathe, you know? And the thing is, we're a part of a community, and this is one of the challenges of doing faith together. Just because we don't like it doesn't mean it's good for somebody. And what I like about the way that Church of Christ do things is we generally have enough people do something that even if somebody does something we don't like, there's another part in the service that we can get something from. And it's not always about what we like, it's about what God is saying to us or through us. So the challenge of allowing us to do things in different ways. Is there any other ways of praying that we can pray as a congregation that people have maybe seen and you'd think we could maybe explore at some point?
Sometimes we've asked people in the congregation, do they need prayer? And we take the microphone and other people might pray for them, or usually it's the minister's job.
Yep.
Yeah, but that seems to work quite well.
Yeah. So sometimes it could be somebody comes out the front, we pray for them. Sometimes it could be people turn with their friends and they pray for each other. And again, that's one of the things we believe in Church of Christ, is that we are all priests. A priest is somebody who stands between God and people. That's all a priest is. But we believe in the priesthood of all believers, that every Christian gets to stand in the gap for other people. You know, so we don't have to come to some holy person to pray for us. God hears all of us, and that we can pray for one another. So maybe we'll explore some of those as we move forward. So I would invite, yeah, great, Steve.
Years ago, I was in an Anglican church, and it was quite traditional, and they would read out a creed, and everybody would, and I'm not really into that, because I thought, man, that's man's take on things.
Yep.
But like, I like the idea of actually reading out maybe a psalm that could be read as a prayer, and it's actually very straight up biblical.
And there's some that are responsive as well, so you can have somebody read a bit and then you respond. But sometimes some of those traditional prayers are very, very well thought through, you know. And sometimes we just kind of say it off the cuff and we haven't thought through. And if somebody, like, generally you probably don't want me to turn up on a Sunday morning and go, what am I going to speak on now? Okay, and I'm going to go off the cuff for 20 minutes. You normally appreciate if I've spent time getting ready. Why shouldn't that also be true for writing down prayers as well, and formal prayers and the historical prayers or the creeds? Brilliant, yeah. So let me invite John, and John's going to come and pray on behalf of us as a congregation.
Right, but I can say it started off horribly, but at the end of the week, we're joyous. It was joyous. Okay. So today, we are praying for the community. A part of the community, we're not just talking about our community, we're talking about the world community. Today, let us remember in our communal prayer that our Lord is the light of the world, and through him all things are possible. So, Lord of light, we pray for our troubled world as we see many conflicts around us, conflicts affecting about a quarter of the world's population, with war and famine and various other things. We pray for those people as they go through their sufferings. We're in a country of many riches and many boundless things around us. But when we look through the world, Father, we see many, many that have nothing. So we pray for those people, and we do what we can by giving and sharing with those people through various means. We also pray for those flood victims of ours in Australia. And we know it's not just Australia, we see it across the world. But we pray in our eastern states, that many have suffered numerous times. We pray that we can reach out to them in some small way, and we pray for their mental well-being as they grow through this stressful journey. We also pray for something that's a plague in this country, and it's a plague throughout the world. That is the domestic violence, a problem which impacts many Australian families. We pray for the people who are in those situations. Again, we reach out for them. We do what we can. We support them. If you have time, you can sit and talk. I know I can go down to my local shopping centre and sit there, and I'll guarantee there'll be people around me sitting next to me. You get talking to them. And we hear their stories. We can pray, just that little time of prayer with them. It seems to uplift them. So we pray for those. We also pray for the many of our church members who are suffering from health issues. Be with them, nurture those who care for them, and give them a newfound strength which can come from you, Lord, to manage their stresses. Lord of light, I pray that unity may prevail in our community. Help me to be an instrument of your peace Help us in this country to come together to resolve the issues that affect us all. Through thy name, pray. Amen.
I was at Bunnings yesterday and I overheard a conversation. I had a sausage at Bunnings in the middle of the day. I didn't bring you one. But they were having a thing and they didn't have an FPOS machine. And I heard somebody say, they overheard a little boy, dad say to the little boy, "Oh, we can't buy one, we don't have any cash." And the little boy said, What's cash?" He had no idea that you could pay with something out of your wallet. And I remember being in a committee meeting once where somebody said, we were talking about the church of the running checkbook, and the lady said, "What's a checkbook?" You know, things change over time. So most of us give our offerings online, but there are a few people that still give. So I invite, we're just going to take up our offering now for those who want to give it that way. And just as that comes around, we'll take up that offering. And again, we're not going to talk about offerings. A funny thing that we do, isn't it? We take up for the work of God's kingdom. I'm going to invite Linda to come up and read one more Bible verse from 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So again, we have this funny thing that we do in churches that you don't really do anywhere else, where you have somebody give a message. And so I wonder, what are some of the things that people have seen done that we can do the message in different ways? So obviously today's been a bit different. So normally it's kind of a 20-minute slot, but what are other things that people have seen done that you think would be good for us to explore to do the teaching of the Bible in other ways? Yep. So just have more video kind of, some kind of series? Yep. Now we're actually going to do that as we come into Advent over Christmas. We're going to have a series of messages that we use, because sometimes people can do professional stuff that we can't do in other ways, so making use of that. Yep, awesome.
I really don't like teaching.
You don't like teaching? Yep.
Oh, there's not enough of that.
Yep. So telling of stories, appreciate. Some people appreciate teaching, some people love the stories, some people see preaching as motivational. I've heard preaching described as counselling from the pulpit. I actually quite like that one. That was a guy we learnt under Barry McMurtry. What are some of the other ways that we can learn the Word of God that you've found helpful?
I've experienced this a good way, but none of you likes this, but is it form groups that make a poster of the scripture?
Yep. So more the arty, get together, write a poster.
Put something up in front. Like make the words today's words.
Yep.
But it means people being involved, and people often
don't like
doing
that. Yep, so that more engagement kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but you've got to get them involved.
Yes, yep. Okay, yep.
Like short interviews with people who have some real-life experience of what it is that you're talking about.
Yep, so bringing people in, sharing, yeah. Again, don't give them the microphone, hold the microphone, yeah.
I know it's the word short
interview. Short.
To the ABC, 5 days a week, 11 to 12, it's a beautiful story.
Yep. So the stories of people, and they don't always have to be Christian stories, because God's truth is all truth, you know, so learning stories from other people. Again, I'm just trying to get in our heads, when we do things differently, it doesn't necessarily meet our need all the time. Sometimes it's the need of somebody else in our community that's being met. I do think you should be known for kind of certain things. So I tend to like, just a little explanation, I tend to like to do the same thing 3 out of 4 weeks. So people kind of know what you normally do. and then do something a little bit different on the other one, so you've kind of got a standard. That's just kind of the balance that I come. Any other ideas that people, we're about to finish off in a second.
Ask questions like we did a few weeks ago.
Yep, so you had a kind of a question back and forth kind of go. And again, some people absolutely love that and some people absolutely hate it. And it's about understanding different needs are being met in there. Yep, great.
What about a panel of three mature people discussing a certain biblical topic?
Brilliant. Yeah, to get people up and say and get different perspectives. I know theologically, I can just look around, I know theologically we range from that end of the wall to that end of the wall, you know, a kind of big range. And so understanding that everybody loves God and they're coming from them from different perspectives, you know, we need to be willing to hear. I mean, I know I struggle with that at times, so to hear different views is really, really helpful to stretch all of us in our faith. And to actually believe that God is in control. Because I think sometimes we like to be in control and we forget that ultimately God is the one that is in control. So I'm going to invite our guys to come back up and lead us in our last song. I think it's Greater, but they can do whatever they like. We've changed it, that's perfectly fine. So as we finish, we're going to have morning tea down the back. People have been making morning tea a little bit too big. So if you're on morning tea, we'd like to pull it back a little bit. Just have a few biscuits and a cup of tea or coffee. Some of us also go out to Currumbel Bowls afterwards, normally about 12 o'clock. There's a group of anywhere from 10 to 25 of us are at Currumbel Bowls. So it's a great time together. So you're welcome to be there as well. And Linda and I will definitely be there because that's my normal lunch. So let's hand it back over to these guys as we sing our last song, and then I'll come back up and do our benediction to finish our service.
Presence.
Next week, we've got a quality preacher, Bruce, who's preaching next week. Looking forward to that. Let me close our service. The peace of God be in your heart. The grace of God be in your words. The love of God be in your hands. The joy of God be in your soul. And in the song that your life sings. Let's enjoy each other's company. Amen.